One game week away from the double, we outline our plans from prioritising four at the back to looking at Liverpool. It's time to chat strategy in FPL, the ultimate game of trust. Managers, it's time to get serious. Are you remaining faithful to the players who got you to game week 22? Or is now the time to banish them? Never mind the round table. The FPL pod is where the big decisions are really made. It's where players who don't return are transferred out. And hopefully the faithful reward us with plenty of points. No, I'm not Claudia Winkleman. I'm Kelly Summers. And I'm joined by the ever faithful Sam Bonfield and the man who cannot be trusted, Julian Laron. And guys, I know the nation are dying to know what happens in The Traitors. Sorry to our non-UK audience, but hopefully you have heard of this TV show that is taking the world by storm. Yeah, I'm more interested in FPL than Traitors at the moment. They got a good reaction. I'm quite happy about that.
Jules,
are you guys both watching The Traitors? Because otherwise that's completely lost on you.
It's an obsession in my house. We all four of us sit and watch it together.
Jules definitely isn't, because he watches too much football.
Yeah, too much football. But I it was on my to-do list, so I will get there.
Okay, well, hopefully that's whet your appetite and made you listen. Anyway, yeah, good morning, guys. Jules, firstly, we joined this call this morning.
Yeah.
You're fresh back from Paris.
That's right.
Had an enjoyable night watching them beat Manchester
City.
Very good. And you made the news that you were going to make a transfer before we even started recording.
And then did it.
Yeah.
And then did it, of course, because I mentioned it last week and I said I should have done it already, but Jean-Philippe Mateta is very much back in my team. Thanks to him, my season last season went so good, especially the last 10 games or so of the Premier League. So he's on good form. Crystal Palace, as we've been saying, have good fixtures coming up. And also that means I can sing boom, 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 Mateta's in the room.
So, Jules, you also told me that someone had tweeted you saying,
yeah, I'm sorry,
not to sing that. So of course you sang it within the opening couple of minutes of the podcast.
That's the way your mind works.
Sam, how about you? I know you've made a transfer as well. We're doing this pod in reverse, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I'm not going to sing, but I've also brought in Mateta this week because, of course, on Saturday evening, the news started breaking about Solanke. So now I've got yet another problem that I have to deal with in my team. I feel like every week I can't actually make the transfers that I would really like to make. I have to make a transfer based on somebody doing their knee in or breaking a bone in their foot or like, because constant at the moment, my team just seemed to be injury prone, a bit like my actual football team as well. So yeah, it's all fun, but I've brought in Mateta as well.
This is a bit off piece, but did you see the clip of Ange Postecoglou in the press conference yesterday where his translator's voice went? And then it really made me laugh because poor Ange, we haven't seen him smile too much recently. And the translator was trying to clear his throat and couldn't quite get his voice. And then Ange was like, now he's gone as well. I've lost my translator. I've got no players. I've not got a translator. Guys, keep away from me. It made me smile anyway. And I thought that was probably quite similar from how you were feeling about your FPL team. Well, actually, last week was quite stressful going into the deadline, wasn't it? Between us recording and the deadline, there was all those question marks, wasn't there? Luis Diaz had a sore throat and missed training. We also found out that Diogo Jota was going to be out, not that any of us own him. We found that Ismail Assar was a doubt with a hamstring injury. And there was one other as well. Who's one I've forgotten? There was one other.
Cole Palmer.
And that was it. Cole Palmer, sorry, because I remember it was the trio of players that I had.
And me. We were talking to each other, weren't we?
And you kind of gambled, didn't you, and just hoped they'd be all right. And I wish I had, to be honest, because although they didn't return, they were all right.
Well, yeah, sort of. I did sell Ismail Assar going into the game week because I was a bit like, oh, well, maybe
we
I
haven't
just
really enjoyed owning him, have we?
Jules, I know. But equally, I was like, well, I can't go into a game week where I've got three potentially injured players because I don't really want the players to come off my bench. Couple of them that were there, I was like, I'm not really keen to have, like, if I lose all three, it's all right if I lose one or two, but if I lose all three. So in the end, I did make a transfer. I brought in Elanga and then was really annoyed when Chris Wood interfered with that goal when it got ruled out because I was like, yes, finally, a transfer that's like,
what do you mean
off.
You got annoyed? There's rules, you know.
I don't care about the rules. I was like, I wanted that assist, guys. And then, Kelly, so you and I spoke a lot on Friday afternoon and then through Saturday morning about our teams, and I was backwards and forwards on what I was going to do. And in the end, I was I was out running some errands and I'd had Evie with me and she was chatting away to me and I was like, it's 10:45 or whatever it was.
Isn't it really annoying when people don't realise, by the way, that it's just before the FPL deadline? Don't fill my head with other stuff. Even if you're a child, Evie, you should know that time.
If you plan ahead, you're never in that position.
George, this is the earliest transfer you've ever done.
I'm just saying.
You can be quiet because you forgot to change your captain last week altogether.
That's true,
you can't speak.
That's true.
But on Saturday morning, I had to be somewhere bang on 11 o'clock. So I knew I had to make my decision about my captaincy, and I was so all over the place with what to do. And in the end, it was back on Chris Wood up until about 15 minutes before the deadline. And then I moved it again and then was raging because, as you know, I never, ever, ever captained somebody in the early kickoff. And I moved it. And then it was only when Lee came to find us later and he went, oh, he likes to wind me up and tell me people aren't in team sheets just to see if I can react to it. And he was like, oh, you know, Isak's not playing, don't you? And I was like, shut up. He's not, it's not a team sheet, won't even be out yet. Like, don't wind me up. And he was like, I am actually winding you up, but the team sheet is out. And I was like, sorry. He was like, well, because Newcastle, the lunchtime kickoff. And I was fuming with myself because I just never do that. And so I said to him, you know what's going to happen now. And then obviously watched that game and Newcastle did what they did. So it was a bad start to the game week. However, I did get very lucky because I did bench Trent this week. And then
this made me so angry. I'm not going to lie. Did you see this?
So jammy.
Did you see what happened with it, Jules?
No.
Well, so I had him as first sub, and then so she pretended to be angry. Okay, so maybe she was a bit angry that Solanke was injured, obviously, because she supports Spurs. But, oh no, Solanke's injured. Oh no, I've got him in my FPL team. Oh, but it's all right, because my first sub got 11 points. 11 points!
That's so jammy.
So Saturday afternoon, we had Max's birthday party. I had a load of kids in my house, and Trent absolutely hauling at the last minute, and I was not happy. And had to be all happy because obviously I had a birthday party to host. And anyway, in the end, then a few hours later, having raged about Trent, the news started coming in about Solanke and the amount of people that went, oh, don't worry about it because you've got Trent off your bench. And I was like, it's not really the point at the moment. But yeah, I did get lucky. And so still got a massive green arrow this week, which was great. But again, it's just another one of those weeks where if I'd have just stuck to my guns with Chris Wood and captained him, it would have been so much better. But I can't really moan after the Trent stuff. So.
No, and you did the best out of all of us. It was a pretty low scoring game week, wasn't it? Yeah. You got 51 points. I got 49. Jules, you got 45. Talk us through what... I was going to say went wrong because it wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad. And it could have been... It was good. I just picked the wrong goalkeeper because I bought...
You need to sort your bench out. You keep having bench issues.
I know. Captain and bench is really my downfall this season because I keep picking the wrong captain and I keep leaving points on the bench that really I shouldn't. I thought... Sells against Southampton at home, there's no way he's going to concede goals, and he did, and Henderson didn't. And then it was between Martinelli and Rodgers, and the only reason why I didn't go for Martinelli at home against Aston Villa, one, I was not completely sure he would start, and two, I thought Rodgers, Villa would play on the counter, Rodgers might get something more than maybe a bit of a stale Arsenal attack, and to be fair, I should have kept faith in Martinelli and the Arsenal attack. So in the end, there's 13 points on the bench. But the rest, like Wood was good. Captain Wilson was really good.
Well done again for doing what you said you were going to do on the pod. You've impressed me a little bit the last few weeks with that.
And to be fair, I thought Harry Wilson played really, really well. He could even have been better than the 7 points that he got, really. So that worked out well. So it was almost a good week. And in the end, it's just not that great, 45.
No, I made a last minute transfer once again. I don't know if you guys follow me at home on Instagram, but I posted the clip from the pod where I talked about needing three Newcastle players, how I was desperate for them, how it was virtually essential, posted it and then acted upon it, like you with Harry Wilson.
Yeah.
I panicked about those injuries and illnesses that we mentioned before. So I got rid of Luis Diaz, knowing that it was a little bit bold because of game week 24, but actually he's just been a bit of a frustration. And I decided that I wanted Gordon for these two game weeks, was trying not to get blinded by the double, brought in Anthony Gordon. And what was it? His first blank in like seven game weeks or something. Also Captain Isak. So yeah, game week ruined by about
you were a bit lucky that the selling DS thing though, because he was top for XG underachievers in the game week. So you could easily
I don't need those kind of stats.
What are you going to do now? Because now you've not got triple Liverpool for the double. Yeah, you're going to get a different one.
No, bring him back in.
No, I'm thinking Cody Gakpo probably. I'm going to hold my transfer this week and wait.
Okay.
I think that's what I'm going to do. Holding my transfer this week. I'm determined not to be lured in just before the deadline, because I've got to stop getting the fear before the deadline, because it never ends well, ever. I don't know when I'll learn. I won't, will I?
You've got the fancy show tomorrow. You're bound to get lured into something.
This is the problem. I talk about it too much and I have too many voices and I have too many, I want that player. Yeah, you're right. I should have that player. He's essential.
As long as you put Kopama in your wild card, it's fine.
you're not watching on YouTube, oh, I just shut my eyes and did a horrible face at Jules. Oh. Yeah, also, I need to stop playing Kirkes at Bournemouth because he is quickly becoming...
Oh, you left him on your bench? Yeah,
yes. Don't you talk about benches. Yeah, I left him on my bench, which was frustrating.
That step over was nice, wasn't it? And then
it's also
finish.
One of those where it's I was never... Finish. Yeah, it was. It was one of those where I was never going to start him. So although I was annoyed, I was like, well, you wouldn't really start him at Newcastle away because you would expect Newcastle to score a few in that. So, yeah. Frustrating, but I was never going to start him. So that's where it's at. In terms of the FPL Pod Mini League, I tell you what, I'm really enjoying the battle at the top of this league at the moment. Max is back top. Max and Charlie having a real good go at this one. Max's team, Levenshulme United, got 61 points. I was about to give him 10 extra there. And that's despite captaining Mo Salah, so it could have been even better. He's actually top in the entire world. So yeah, we are really championing you, Max. Although Charlie isn't far behind, just 6 points behind, and he is third in the overall rankings in the entire world as well. By the way, guys, we're only going to get worse at FPL as we get older because it's all about the kids these days. Charlie is just 15 years old.
It's incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
I bet
he doesn't go to school and just focus on FPL the whole time.
I hope you told your Max to up his game, Sam.
I have. I did show him it and say, Max, have you seen this? Like, I appreciate that you're 4 years younger, but, you know, you've got 4 years to train. And then by the time you're 15, I want you winning the whole thing. And he was like, all right, Mum. Like, and he just really seriously.
Surely that's
deadpan.
Part of, if you're in FPL family, that's part of your daily training.
I know, but you put pressure on your kids like that. I'm not sure that's healthy.
He's also...
It's not the podcast for that, Jules.
No, and also, you know, FPL is taken very seriously in our house, so...
They're FPL family. It's on their front door,
Jules. I know, but like, you know, he's 11 years old. Like,
you know, like you and I live at like five Smith Street. Sam lives at FPL family. She doesn't live in the street. She just lives
The postman knows exactly.
FPL family HQ. Anyway, we're going to go off at a real tangent here. I'm talking of young FPL players, by the way. Someone that I play with, his son listens to this podcast. He's just 10 years old. He's James. James Smith. His dad, Matt, has been playing this game for absolute years. James is beating him this season, and he's doing things like captaining Chris Wood. I also think it's like, he captained Chris Wood last week, sorry. I think it's about not overthinking things as well. Sometimes when you're just a bit younger, you're a bit more carefree and you go for like the fun side of things, whereas we all panic a little bit, I think. So yeah,
well done to James. Like that. He captained Chris Wood this week and he's beating me this year again for the third year in a row. So actually, maybe I need to retire and just let him...
Next week, I don't want to see you in that chair. I want to see you, Max.
Yeah, I'll tell him to take the morning off school. He can come sit here and do it instead.
My oldest last season, you know what he did? He joined the Honduras League. Mm. He pretended to live in Honduras because he thought there might not be many players. Yeah. And he was third in Honduras for a long, long time.
Knowing you, Jules, you probably actually shipped him there just to get rid of him.
It was so funny. Like, right. I was, vamos, 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 Honduras.
Enough about parenting and our children. I haven't got my 14-month-old starting on it
Why
yet.
Why is she not playing yet?
I don't know. Wait,
I have a Project Mbappe with her and FPL. Project Mbappe for FPL.
Yeah, she didn't start off well, did she? She made me miss the deadline the morning she was born. So yeah,
well, forgive her for that.
We need to work on it. Also, by the way, I just wanted to give a quick shout out. Going back to our mini league, we digressed a bit there. Michael Williams got 72 points. He's fourth, and that is despite swelling Madueke for Luis Diaz, but could be a good move ahead of game week 23 and the double in game week 24. A reminder: if you do want to join in on the Pod Mini League, the code is Q7YCO0. Okay, then my probably least favourite topic to talk about this week, given the fact that I sold Luis Diaz, is Liverpool. Yes. We were going to leave this until double game week 24 to talk about, but Sam decided to really rub it in and remind me why I shouldn't have sold him and has put it in this week's pod script. Now, it's also because, of course, they have Ipswich at home this week. So if you are going to bring them in, it probably makes a little bit more sense to bring them in for this week as well, because you would think, although we all thought Newcastle were going to get points against Bournemouth, that they would return this week. Then they travel to Bournemouth. Then they travel to Everton. So it's double away games for Arne Slot's team in double game week 24, but potentially two fixtures where they can get points. But in between those two Premier League matches, a reminder, Liverpool do play Spurs in the second leg of the League Cup semi-final. And then they do play Plymouth Argyle in the next round of the FA Cup. It's at the really busy time of season. Are you going to be trebling up on Liverpool, Jules?
So I like the idea. I just don't think it's as straightforward as it sounds, in the sense that, okay, Mo Salah is locked in. Everybody has him in the whole entire world. That's fair enough. Then you can either add two to Mo, or you just add one to Mo, right? If you double or treble. I think you can always go for a defender. If you have a lot of money and you believe in Trent, then Trent could be your guy. If you have less budget, Van Dijk can be your guy. And if you even have less budget, Maibock Konaté could be your guy. Although he's got a dodgy knee. He said it himself on Monday before the Lille game, where he was rested and stayed on the bench. But that's fine. It's in attacking position that I think it's a bit more complicated, in the sense that I'm not too sure. Now that Jota is injured, it makes it slightly easier because Jota is out of the picture. But between Darwin, who started against Lille in the Champions League after his two goals against Brentford late to win it for Liverpool, where he started on the bench, Darwin is another option now, I guess, with Gakpo and with Luis Diaz. Luis Diaz started on the left again as a left winger against Lille in the Champions League. He has not scored in 6 games now, so he's not in the best form of his life, let's be honest. Gakpo hasn't scored in 4, I think, or 5, something like that. So not that great. I guess you can go for Szoboszlai, now that Kirsty Jones also picked up an injury. There's Szoboszlai as an option. But really, since that amazing game he had at Spurs, where he played almost as a false nine, second striker, him and Luis Diaz, he hasn't really been that effective, really, in front of goals. So I'm not really sure where you go in terms of a second forward outside of Mo Salah, really, because Gakpo sounds good, but he's not in great form. And I'm not even sure that he will start at the weekend, for example, because it could easily be Darwin, Luis Diaz and Mo Salah starting.
What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trebled up, so I'm just going to have the three that I've got. I've got Trent and Salah and Luis Diaz. And I think, a bit like we used to say with Pep and the Pep roulette at Man City, it kind of feels similar with Liverpool at the moment. Like, if you invest outside of Mo Salah, particularly in the attack, you are buying a ticket to a lottery and you just have to hope for the best. Do I think that Luis Diaz gets both starts in the double? I don't know, but I hope that he would get minutes in both games? Yes. So if he starts one and comes on for half an hour in the other, is that the end of the world? Probably not. They're decent enough fixtures. However, the Jota injury does make me think that it's more likely that Diaz is going to get the minutes. And with Darwin playing well, could we see a bit of rotation with Gakpo? The one thing I will say is that Darwin does not press in the same way that Gakpo will. Mm. He doesn't involve himself in the play. He kind of hangs around and waits for the ball to come to him, which is sort of fine in some games. And maybe against Ipswich, that might be okay. But it's against teams like Bournemouth and to a certain extent against Everton, I think the press that Gakpo brings would be important. So I don't know. I'm going to have the three that I've got. I think they're probably the most safe three if you want to double in the attack. I don't really fancy the defensive double up either. I think Liverpool always have the odd slip up defensively. And particularly against Bournemouth, who are in good form, I could see there being a goal there for Bournemouth, particularly at home. So it's difficult. I think you could probably get away with just being doubled up, but it does feel a bit amiss not to treble right now.
So Jules, you've just got Mo Salah at the moment. Are you going to be changing that?
So I'm going to go for a defender for sure. Mm-hmm. Whether that's Konaté or Van Dijk, I can get to Van Dijk. I can get to Trent, but I don't want to spend all that money on him. And I might regret it. I might not. I think there's also potentially a slight question mark over Trent, considering how good Bradley has been in that right back position. And I didn't expect Trent to be on the bench against Lille and to come on for 5 minutes at the end, which felt a bit strange. And I was at the game and I was like, why are you even bringing Trent on now for 5 minutes when you're 2-1 up against a team with 10 men? So I'm not really sure if the pecking order really for that right back position is so like, this is Trent and just Conor Bradley is so far behind. Or if in Slot's mind, there is like, okay, there's games where I would fancy Conor Bradley more because of the way the opposition attack or because of the way the opposition plays. And then I'm not too sure about Trent, whereas I think Van Dijk, for example, will start, is so important to them. He will start every single game and play every single minute unless he's injured. So I'll try to go for either my boy Konaté simply for the Paris born and bred relationship and love, or and it's cheaper, or for Virgil. And then the third one, I might wait a little bit. So I might bring Van Dijk for this weekend against Ipswich because I think there could be points there with a clean sheet for them, no problem. And then see if I travel up before the double game week. And if I do, it would be Gakpo, I think, more than Diaz probably.
Yeah, that's what I decided that do I regret it now? Yes, it's easy to say I regret it when Anthony Gordon did blank last week. But I know why I made the decision. And like you, Jules, I mean, I'm already doubled up. So I'm going to hold my transfer this week and then know that I can treble up, if I want to. Probably will mean that I can't bring Luis Diaz back in because he's going to get seasickness, isn't he, going in and out of my team just like that.
It's like the hokey cokey.
But I'm not dead set on needing 3, although Sam, like you said there, it does feel like a bit of a missed opportunity. The other option myself and Jules have got, of course, is to use the assistant manager chip on slots. I'm not going to be doing that. Jules, I know you're probably in the same boat as me.
Yeah,
on that.
I'm waiting for that.
But that is also another option, would you say, Sam?
It's an option. I don't think it's a good option, though, if I'm really honest. I think the fact that you're not going to get any table bonus from slot because obviously they're top of the league. So the best you can hope for is 4 wins. If you give it to slot and stick with slot across the 3 game weeks, the best you can hope for is 3 wins. Obviously that's 24 points for the 4 wins, plus any goals and clean sheets that come from that. Whereas I think if you look at going later on in the season, you can still get a double game week later on in the season with it and target a manager or managers who have the table bonus benefit. So the Potters, the Moyeses, the Postecoglous, you know, all of the managers that are currently at the bottom half of the table, that potentially you can target them playing teams above. Even if they just draw, they'd get 8 points for drawing with them. So you've got so much more upside for going for them. If they get the win, they're 16 points per match, which is huge. So I just don't think, for me, and I'm normally a bit of a risk adverse manager, but I think with this chip, you have to play the fun with it and go for a manager that's got so much more upside, in my opinion. But if you're, you know, winning it and want to just hold position at the top of your mini league and you've already used your triple captain chip, then, and you want to go for slot, then fine. I mean, if you wanted to go for slot in the double and then move it to a manager that you could target for the table bonus for the 2 game weeks that follow.
Yeah, you can do a mix for sure.
Then yeah. I'm all right with that. But again, you'd have to use a transfer. And given that by the end of the double game week, we're going to know what blank game week 29 looks like, you might find that you actually need your transfers to help you plan for that one.
Okay, well, we'll talk about Everton next week because they've got Brighton away this week. And I think we're still trying to work them out a little bit more under David Moyes. So yeah, maybe hold that thought for now. And also, Sam doesn't really want to talk about good Everton assets given what happened last weekend, do you?
I'd rather not.
What happened last weekend?
Spurs decided they forgot to play football altogether for about 60 minutes. And then they decided, oh, actually, we'll try and play some football.
They made Everton look like prime Barcelona.
Yeah, they did. It was not pleasant being in my house. You didn't want to be around me on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. And if we carry on this conversation, we're not going to want to be around her for the rest of this podcast. So let's move on. We're in light of the fact that game week 24 is ahead of us. And as Sam mentioned there, we are going to find out a lot more about the rest of the season and potential blanks in terms of the League Cup final. And also everything will just become a bit clearer, won't it? Because we'll know a little bit more about Champions League and all of those kind of things. It does mean that a lot of managers might be looking at changing their strategy, maybe moving money around to kind of enhance a different part of their team. So let's talk about some popular themes at the moment in people's teams. For a long time, a lot of people have been doubled up on the Arsenal defence. Jules, you've been, I'd say, pretty smart and not done that.
Yeah.
And it does feel like now is probably not the right time to do it. Also, what are you going to do about Saliba?
I know. I think Saliba will miss the game at Wolves on Saturday, this weekend. I think he should be back for the Man City game. He will miss probably the Girona game in the Champions League next week as well, which is, for us, doesn't matter so much. Although you want him to be okay for the next league game after that. And he should be fine, really, for the City game on February the 2nd. So the following game week after, for game week 24. I think it's very tempting to go for Ryan Saliba, Raya Gabriel, Timber Saliba, Timber Gabriel, to have two. One, because of set piece threats. We've mentioned that enough, I think, already. Two, because Raya is a really good goalkeeper. And really, because this team should be very strong defensively. It's very much part of the DNA and part of what has made them really good, especially last season and for most of this season. But somehow, lately, it's not really the case. The two goals they conceded against Villa without Saliba, albeit last weekend, are bad goals to concede really for a team of that level. Spurs scored there and took the lead. We saw United in the FA Cup. I know the FA Cup is not our game, but still took there pretty much on the first chance. Newcastle went there in the League Cup semi-final. And again, 2 chances, 2 goals. It's fine. If you concede 15 chances against you, eventually you're going to concede. That's for sure. But when you have one shot against you or one chance and then you concede straight away on that, that's where I've got an issue. Brighton, Brentford, I think Ipswich is the last game, and that was at the end of December where they kept the clean sheet. And that's a long time ago for a team that good. And for you to invest your money and your budget onto two Arsenal defenders. So I'm really, as tempting as it is, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Sam, I feel like you and I probably need to sort this out in our teams and would have probably sorted it out by now had we not had other headaches to kind of contend with.
Yeah, I think I'd have been off the Arsenal double up had I not had all the injuries that I've had to deal with. Yeah, three clean sheets since game week 14 is just not enough when you're talking about the level of budget. Like if they were 4.5 million, then it would be fine. You'd kind of go, well, all right then, doesn't matter. But when you're spending upwards of 5.5 million on these players and, you know, in total, you're talking about well over 10 million on two assets, you want more clean sheets than that, particularly when you think that in that same period of time, so since game week 14, Newcastle have kept five clean sheets, Bournemouth, Palace and Forest have kept four each. So you've got players that are significantly cheaper, like the likes of Lewis Hall. Aina isn't so much cheaper now, but the rest of the Forest defence is. You've got Munoz, who, you know, has to be mentioned by me every week. Kirk Ayres at Bournemouth. There's loads of nice, cheap, budget-friendly defenders who have had more points. Now, the one thing I would say is that with the weeks that we have coming up, the next 4 weeks, apart from that game against Manchester City, they do look like there should be clean sheets on the horizon for Arsenal. Like, and so right now probably isn't necessarily the most pressing time to start jumping off the Arsenal double up, especially if Arsenal do go out of the League Cup and therefore are going to be featuring in game week 29, then having those players available would be really handy because it helps you to deal with not having to play a free hit or whatever else in game week 29. So I'm going to just stick with them for now, mostly because I think if I was going to move away, I probably would take Timber out and go somewhere else, or maybe I take Rare out and I go somewhere else. But at the moment, I kind of think with the next four game weeks that we have coming up, I'm probably just going to hold them and then deal with it later on down the line as we get closer to game week 20. Well, where are we now? 23. So probably next 4 weeks, probably around 27, I might start thinking about whether the Arsenal defensive double up is the right thing because the fixtures do turn a bit more difficult then.
Yeah, it's interesting when you talk about defence because I've set my team up for this week and I think I'm going to play four at the back, which is something that I don't do very often. But it does feel like that's maybe, none of them getting clean sheets. It does feel like maybe that's the sensible thing to do at the minute. Do you agree, George?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of momentum going from defenders, really, when you think about it. And I think, and I know, obviously, then you have to make, if you go with a back four, you'd have to make a strong choice somewhere else, whether it's so dropping one of your front three, for example, of one of your midfielder. And we said there's a lot of talent, especially in midfield. There's a lot of things you can do. But I think if you go for Robinson and Aina, for example, who seems to be guaranteed returning points so far, certainly at the moment in the form that they are individually and the form that their teams are in, really, then you have one big one, whether it's Trent, Virgil, Saliba, if he was fit, those kind of guys. And then a Lewis Hall, for example, or some of the names that Sam mentioned, and that back four is solid. And if you pick the right goalkeeper, don't ask Sam for goalkeeping advice, but in general, if you then suddenly that back five can easily get you seven there, six, eight, something like that with bonus points, and straight away it changes everything. So I think this is a great idea. If you have the right defenders to go for a back four, and I don't like it either, to be fair, not too much, but I think it could be very smart.
Do you agree, Sam?
Part of my issue last week was that I couldn't work out how to play a back four, even though I wanted to, because Lewis Hall and Robinson pretty much pick themselves every week. They're so good at the moment, whether it's a clean sheet or an attacking return. And then I've got Timber and Trent. And so I'm looking at those four, and I've got Seth Vandenberg, so he just sits on the bench. He's really helpful for that. Have got the money for him to be Munoz, but that's just going to cause even more issues because there's no way I'm going to be able to play five at the back. The problem is you then look at your team and you look at the midfield and the forward line and you think, well, who is it that I'm benching in those positions? Because suddenly the front three have gone from being, oh, well, I'll have, you know, what we call a burner slot or somebody that you really don't want to be playing every week, to, oh, I can have a front three that's got Isak, Mateta and Wood really easily. So clearly you want to play those three pretty much weekly. And then the midfield, well, two of them are going to be Salah and Palmer, although Palmer's really heavily being sold this week, which surprises me. And then you look at the rest of them, and because Morgan Rogers has, or Ahmad, have been the cheap midfielders of choice, even them, you want to play them most weeks as well. So it's really difficult. But I like the idea of playing four at the back. It's just when it comes to picking my team every week, I really struggle to pick four of them because it means benching somebody in those attacking positions.
Mm. Talking of the attack, just a quick word on Chelsea, Jules, because a lot of people have been selling Nicholas Jackson. Mm. You're not one of them.
No, I have now for Mateta.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But
course,
I watched him again, and I really like Nico, and I've got plenty of time, and I watched him when he was in Spain, when he was breaking through.
Right. No, he's one of your boys.
No, not so much. I don't know him at all. Like, I've never met him, but okay. I just want him. I want him to do well. I don't know why, because he's not even from Paris.
He's quite likable. There's something about him, isn't there?
Something.
Because the way he plays, he should get more goals, and he's such an exciting kind of throwback striker in a way. But
that game against Wolves on Monday night, the goal that he scores, which is an offside goal, it's normal that he's disallowed, but he makes his run too early again. And even me watching on television, I was like, don't go now. Don't. Like, literally, that was my face. I was saying, don't go. Here we go. He went too early, offside. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't go through this every weekend because good Nico, as we mentioned, at times this season, great. Yeah. No problem. But bad Nico, when bad Nico is back from the bad Nico from at times last season, it's the too early run. It's the lack of efficiency in front of goal. It's the extra touch where he doesn't need to do. Oh, no, man, come on. I'll bring my boy Mateta. It'll be fine.
Do we all have to keep Palmer, though? I think it's quite bold of me to ask that. I'm not doing anything with him after my history with him because we know he punishes. But it feels like there's certain players like Mo Salah. It feels like you keep him in your team. Is Cole Palmer one of those? It feels like there's like a little bit of a spine emerging.
It's weird though, Kels, because Saliba's the most popular transfer out this week, followed by Nico Jackson and then Cole Palmer. It's like, so people are starting to lose their temper with him.
Is that the double game week effect, do you think, as well? People trying to get more Liverpool attackers?
Money,
yeah. So I thought, maybe it's the people that don't have Salah trying to move
to Palmer.
Who are those
people?
I don't know. But it doesn't seem to be because Salah's not one of the most popular transfers in. But the people that are the most popular transfers in are players like Luis Diaz and Cody Gakpo. So in my mind, I can only think that people are taking the Palmer slot and using it on a Luis Diaz and then using the money to upgrade elsewhere, maybe going back to a Man City player. But to me, that doesn't seem like a sensible thing to do because actually, when you look at the fixtures that Chelsea have over the next few weeks, I know it's Man City at the weekend, but we saw in the Champions League that it's, you know, you can score goals against Man City. Like, and I think Chelsea have got their style of play lends itself quite nicely to playing against Man City, I think.
Absolutely. I guarantee you Nico is going to score on Sunday.
100%, yeah. And I think, you know, he's going to have the chance to break at pace. So inevitably, he's going to punish you. And I think Cole Palmer will be involved in that as well. So if you sell Cole Palmer, then do it at your peril. Personally, I wouldn't. I'd hold him. And I think I'd also have been inclined to have held Jackson. But I do understand why people are losing their patience with him because he's had 14 attempts on goal recently. That's the fourth most amongst the forwards and just hasn't done anything with them.
Okay, so if we're all getting, or you two have both put in Mateta, it feels like everyone's getting quite excited about Jean-Philippe Mateta at Crystal Palace, given his form and their fixtures. I know Isak blanked last week, but it feels like loads of us have Isak in our teams as well. And the same with Chris Wood. Are they the three premium forwards now? Is a cheap forward still the right thing, or are they just the three optimum forwards, Sam?
So I think they are. I think having Mateta, Isak and Wood is the front line of choice right now. Now, look, we say this every other week and then it changes. So it's not like you're going to be static with that necessarily for the rest of the season. But right now, those are the three most informed forwards and therefore the most logical ones to have. And at their price point, you know, they're easy to get hold of. But you've got players like Cunha, who I think will come back into the conversation a bit later on. Like by game week 26, those fixtures have swung massively. So we could go there. There are other assets. I think the big question mark for me would be if you had a João Pedro or Raul Jimenez or Liam Delap in that third spot, can you use that position better? Now, if you want to go to four at the back, then keeping one of them actually makes sense because you can bench them on the weeks you don't want to play them.
Well, that's, I have João Pedro as my third forward alongside Wood and Isak, and that's kind of what I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah, nice. And so that makes sense. And like that is a sensible thing to do because then you've also got a midfielder that you can move around with how you play the game. And I think that flexibility is actually quite useful right now. Whereas for Jules and I, when you've got a front three that you can't bench any of them any weeks, that makes it really difficult because suddenly then you're having to bench two midfielders if you want to play four at the back. So that's a really difficult position to put yourself in. So I just think most people will look at their bank and go, oh, I've got the money to upgrade a João Pedro to a Mateta, and therefore should I do that? Yes, it's a good move. Like that's an upgrade and that's something that I would consider, but it depends on how you want to play out the rest of your team. I think that's the important thing. So just consider what that front eight is going to look like. And if your back five is really a back four that you want to play every week, then maybe just holding João Pedro, Raúl Jiménez, Liam Delap is actually quite sensible.
Have you two both got the same forwards now then? Wood, Isak.
Mateta. Yep. He copied me.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I've said a couple of weeks ago that I should bring Mateta and then just didn't get round to do it. And now I'm like, okay, yeah.
To be fair, I wouldn't have brought Mateta in because I wouldn't have sold Solanke ahead of Everton or Leicester. Like I'd have held him for the next two and then I probably might have thought about Mateta further down the line, but he makes sense right now as a Solanke replacement.
Okay. At the beginning of this podcast, regular listeners will know that on European weeks, I normally ask Jules for a roundup of all of the fixtures. I actually forgot to do that because we got so carried away with the traitors and with what had happened with our own teams. But I wanted to ask you in this section about Manchester City, Jules. So I get the feeling that when we talk about Pep's side, we're probably going to talk about what happened to them last night.
Yeah, in Paris. And to be honest, it's not me being like this super annoying PSG fan, although this is why I am.
I
know I am. But second half, especially after the 53rd minute, so City go 2-0 up and then they just collapse. Like I've rarely seen a team of this level with a manager like Pep Guardiola, with players like the ones they have, whether we think their squad is good enough or not, aging or not, it doesn't matter. But a team of this quality collapsing like that and just being so bad for 35 minutes where they just could not even do three passes together, could not do anything, could not even get hold of the ball. I was like, what is going on here? And really, I find it really sad to see City in that kind of state. And yeah, we thought, even Pep Guardiola said after the Ipswich win last weekend, oh, we're back. Well, you might be back against Ipswich, but I'm not sure how back you really are because yesterday was really, really quite pathetic, that second half. And now you play a Chelsea side who the team that will play on Sunday will have the whole week to prepare and rest because the Chelsea team that is going to play on Thursday night in the Conference League is going to be the B team. So none of those players will be involved against City at the weekend. And I fear for City on Sunday because yesterday they were the shadow of themselves again, like at the lowest of the lows in that crisis that they had and that we thought was behind them. I don't think he's actually that much behind them at all. So quite worrying. And really, if you were thinking about bringing a City player, don't go there, I think. If you had one and you wanted to keep him, don't keep him because there was nothing positive from last night from them at all.
It was quite untimely, wasn't it, Sam? Because at that period, it felt like the likes of Phil Foden, for example, were coming back on our radar. But maybe it will have tempered some expectations and hopes for Manchester City in terms of FPL, particularly with their fixtures in the Premier League too.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should remember that the games that Man City have been back in the Premier League have been games against Leicester, West Ham, Ipswich. Like these are teams that you would expect Man City to be able to beat comfortably. They struggled against Brentford, a bit like Liverpool did last week. So I think when you look at the fixtures that they've had, it's no real surprise that Man City have done well in those fixtures. But they came up against PSG and lost that game badly in the second half. And then when you look at the fixtures that they have coming up, obviously it's Chelsea, as we've been mentioning at the weekend. But after that, Arsenal, Newcastle, Liverpool, goodness only knows what the Spurs team that they're going to face is going to look like by that point, but Spurs and then Nottingham Forest. Like, yeah, so when you look at those fixtures, that is horrible. Like that is not the kind of fixture run that you would want to be invested in.
And the Bruges game, sorry, Sam, next week in the Champions League where they could be knocked out if they don't win. Yeah, absolutely. So in the middle of that.
So they've got to win that. Then there's an FA Cup game as well to come into play as well. And then they've got all of these awful fixtures in the league. Like, I... Personally, I'm still looking like it, after the run that they've just had, where they've been scoring multiple goals and they've been returning points nicely, you kind of look at it and go, well, should I invest? And I can understand why some managers are. Like, one of the big transfer moves this week has been for people going from Palmer to Foden. Now, that is based on literally just what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. But when you look at the fixtures that Chelsea have coming up versus the fixtures that Man City have coming up, it's a no-brainer to stick with Palmer over Foden, in my opinion. So we might get some goals for Man City in the coming weeks. But I think for their price tag, I'm not going to be looking at them till at least game week 29, more like game week 30.
Okay, and just finally rounding off this section of kind of about strategy and our broader plan for the coming game weeks. With the double game week, just like two game weeks away now, you guys are a good example. You're two people that have made transfers that aren't related to the double game week. So it's almost a reminder, isn't it, Jules, that yes, it's a double game week, but you don't let that blind all of your other decisions.
No, but again, if you still have a few free transfers, or if you are okay to take a -4, you can do it now and look at the Liverpool options that we mentioned already. If you fancy Everton, because I mean, they wish they play Spurs every week, which is not, unfortunately for you Evertonians, it's not possible. But you might think, okay, now that's a turning point, the way they played against Spurs for 75 minutes, because they look really good and much better, and David Moyes can do miracles in the end. So you can go for Iliman Endia, you can go for maybe Dominic Calvert-Lewin if, like you, Kelly, you love a Dominic, or like Sam, if you have something for Dominic.
I did get quite excited when he scored.
I've only ever had one Dominic.
Yeah, well, when he scored, I did think, oh, yes, it's our time to be reunited, Dom. And then I thought,
God,
I'm not going.
Please do it. Please do it for the double.
I'm not like you. I'm not going to say things on this podcast and then be talked into having to back it up by doing it. So no, thank you.
So yeah, that's a possibility.
Okay, right. Let's leave that chat there before it all goes rogue. I can always sense when our chats are about to go rogue, and it's my job to navigate us back on the track. And the next journey on our track is the differential of the week. Jules, well done.
Thank you, President Wilson.
7 points, assist, clean sheet, and a bonus point to Sam. Let's not go down the Elanga route again. You also, to be fair to both of you, you both bought in your differentials, which isn't something that happens too often. But yeah, just the 2 points. Sam has written here, was unlucky not to register an assist. Yes.
It was unlucky.
Come on. Every week we're unlucky about something. We don't always, like, you know, talk about it.
Yeah, you do.
do I?
Anyway, Jules, 2 weeks in a row now winning. Caught you on a streak.
Come on.
So you told us that you were in Paris last night. You were with a former Premier League player and you were discussing which differential to bring in with him. And he also plays FPL. Reveal all.
Yeah, Gael Clichy. I was with Gael Clichy last night after the game. And we talked about FPL and somebody, and he said, oh yeah, I listened to your advice for Joe Linton, by the way. Thank you very much.
All the advice to listen to.
I know.
Hello, Gael. Everyone that listens to this podcast knows that you listen to this podcast, you take Sam's advice, and you put all of Jules' advice in the bin. That's the rule of listening to the pod.
I said to him, look at Harry Wilson. And it's even said Harry Wilson could have had even more points than 7.
He could. Yeah,
he could have, to be fair. So, yeah. Gael,
you were unlucky.
Who did Gael
tell you to go with this week? Then?
And have you gone with him?
So this week, you know what? This week I had 3 ones. Like this morning on the train, I took the Eurostar back super early. And I had three possibilities that I could go for. And in the end, I think of the three I have...
Are you making a live decision?
No, deciding now. Yeah, because... So I had Konate, Clover and Mitoma. Because I think three of them, Clover, with the form that he's in. But the issue I had with Clover, I think Sam, you might have picked him up earlier in the season. I think Mitoma picked him up earlier in the season.
I'm going to check. I'll get the spreadsheet out.
Yeah, I think so.
Sorry, it always makes me laugh that we have a spreadsheet. It's so serious.
Ibrahim Konate then.
Go on, you have to give some reasons.
Yeah, he's kept 12 clean sheets in the 21 games that he played or 21 games that he started. So when he plays, Liverpool don't concede. I think he's the best compliment to Virgil van Dijk, who's in great form. Yeah, I mentioned a knee that is still a bit painful for him at times, but he can play through it. And I think he's been outstanding, Konate, this season. Really, will cost you 5.1 million, so really affordable. Owned by less than 5% of the managers. He's got a couple of goals on set pieces too. And yeah, at times, Liverpool concede goals, as we saw against Lille on Tuesday, where really there was not much from Lille going forwards. But I think Konate makes them even more solid. So I would bank on no goals conceded against Ipswich at the weekend.
Okay. Sam, who's going to beat Jules' selection this week? You're on a bad run.
I'm on a terrible run. I've got two. And one of them I was convinced you were going to pick.
Also, guys, you know when we get to this point in the podcast, we're normally running out of time.
I know, yeah. Like, yeah.
That's me. Speed up, speed up.
Okay, so on the basis that you've just said that you won't have Kluivert because I've picked him before, I had Kulusevski as mine, but you've had him before, so I won't go with him. So I'll go with a player that we've talked about a lot, but neither of us has had as a differential, and have Mateta, because why? That's mad that neither of us has picked him as a differential. He's only owned by 5.7% of the game, and he's, I think, potentially because he's a bit more expensive at 7.3 million. He's returned in all of Palace's last three matches. In that time, he's picked up 29 points. In the last three matches, he's created, or he's had 8 attempts on goal. He's scored 4 of them. So he's been really clinical with the chances that he is being given. He's also created a couple of chances, and one of them's been a big chance. So again, he's, what he is creating for his teammates is positive in terms of likely outcomes. Coming up against a Brentford team who really don't travel very well. So the Bees have conceded 16 goals on the road this season. It's been a difficult run of form for them, where they've only won once since game week 16, and that was against Southampton. So as Jules and I have both brought him in this week, I'll also have him as my differential.
Okay, very best of luck to both of you. Sam, you need it at the moment.
I really do.
I should have picked Mateta, man.
Yeah, and I'm amazed that you didn't, which is why, because I made 2 last night. I had Mateta and then I had Kulusevski.
Too late, no going back. Once you've said it on the pod, you've said it.
It's done now.
Okay, transfers and captains. You've both already said your transfers. Just the one transfer for both of you?
Yes.
I might bring Van Dijk.
How many have you got? Another 5 to use?
Yeah, 10. What? Let me check. 10. I still have 10.
What?
No, I've got another one. I had 2 for this week, so I might keep it. Or bring Liverpool now, a Liverpool defender now, yeah, because of the
game well, coming in Ipswich. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So, okay then, so we've done transfers. What about captaincy? Surely. It feels like it's one of these weeks where there is multiple options for the captaincy, but given the fact that Mo Salah is so heavily owned and going to be so heavily captained, surely you just have to captain him, don't you, Sam?
Yeah, Isak's there. There's a conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going there after last week.
but I'm going, Salah.
We all went there, didn't we?
All of us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we all... Yeah, there's a reason. Mind you, Mo Salah slightly
the blanked in the last two
as much as I don't ever want to say Mo Salah.
Lovely goal.
He's not off
lovely
form exactly. He's off form in terms of Premier League and FPL returns, but we're both all captaining him.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Isak's second best option?
Yeah.
Vice captain, yeah.
Okay. Lovely. That was nice and quick then. That was quick, wasn't it? That's what producer Jesse's going to absolutely love that. Okay, the deadline on Saturday, by the way, a little bit later. There's 5:30 PM kickoffs, no early games. Your deadline is 1:30. It always worries me it's a little bit later, because whenever it's a little bit later, I tend to miss it. What do I always say? Set an alarm. Off the Bench, we'll be back on Monday. It'll be Janny and Praz talking you through the key talking points from game week 23. I know which game week it is by now. We'll, of course, be back next Thursday, and we'll be looking ahead to double game week 24, so you don't want to miss that. The Fantasy Show will be back tomorrow. Sam is going to be with me, and Sam, your job is to make sure I don't make any transfers, please.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the final of the Traitors, and good luck this game week. If you don't watch the Traitors, why am I advertising the Traitors? Just listen to the FPL pod, play FPL. That's what we're here for.